hosting for nowhere and no damage. Film, television, and pop culture. That's where you find it.
Such power, it's raw power.
Dad, what are you doing? It's Shark Week.
Okay, here's the deal.
You have 1 month to find jobs or you're out in your asses. I will arrange interviews for Monday and you will go.
Dad, why are you talking to me like this? I'm your son.
I'm not buying that crap anymore.
You yelled rape at the top of your lungs.
Mom, I honestly thought I was going to be raped for a second. He had the craziest look in his eyes. And at one point he said, let's get it on.
That was about the fighting. See? I'm so not a raper.
All right, that's it.
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?
We are so serious.
You're high.
Are you out of your mind?
Goes in Robert's wall safe.
Come on.
And it's going to stay there.
No.
Okay.
This house is a prison.
What are you?
Me.
Are you me?
I'm badass. And you're good, Ash. You're a goody little two-shoes. You're a goody little two-shoes. Goody little two-shoes. Little goody 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 two-shoes.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Wait a second. You eat cardboard. You dress in bark and stuff. Strange. A little strange. Okay, now you said something before about your people. Now, what were you talking about here? Just what are you?
Not tell.
Oh, not tell, huh?
You. Not tell.
Oh, me not tell? You mean I keep a secret?
Spit. Spit on word.
Very attractive.
Spit.
Look, hygienically, this is a bad idea. I gotta tell you that.
You're the spitter.
Okay, I spit. Now you spit it out. What are you?
Gnome.
A gnome. And can you grant wishes, gnome?
No. Can you?
All right, so you're a gnome. What's your name, gnome?
Gnorm.
Gnome. Right, I'm gonna stake out with a gnome named Norm.
Yep. Stake out.
First of all, if you were a gnome, you would know that the G in gnome is silent. It's gnome, okay?
No, it's cannot.
Don't push it with me.
Yeah. Hey! Oh! Hey! Hey, everybody! Whee! Boom Goes the Dynamite! Yeah! Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. A show where we just kind of just never stop talking until it's over. So, welcome to the show. And I'm not the only one who does all the talking. I do it with help. Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey, good day.
How's it going, Steven? That's
great.
And also, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm not screaming.
Hey.
I'm wonderful.
All right.
What?
Fantastic. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am so happy we'll be able to talk about our favorite shows like Lawman and Cake Boss. Actually, Lawman was kind of boring, wasn't it?
It was boring.
It's like we need him talking to more poor people on the street, kind of. Those are the best gold scenes. But
those are so painful.
I know, but we'll talk about that later in the show, guys. We'll talk about the return of Dollhouse. Mm. You know, we all know that Dollhouse has been canceled, which means they'll play out the rest of the season, supposedly. You never know. They might just go, you know what? The ratings are so bad, we're not going to show the rest of them. But I'm like, tonight they're showing another two hours. The show.
They're burning it off.
2 hours
last week.
Yeah,
they're burning it.
2 hours this week. But guys, let's go ahead and get everything started. All right? We've got some voicemail. I want to get right in the voicemail. Then we'll roll right into entertainment. Okay? Our first voicemail is from Adam. Now, Adam consistently is sending us emails, voicemails every week, just like Rick. And now Adam has reviewed a film for us, and it's called, what is it?
Four Christmases.
Four Christmases. Four Christmas. So let's see what Adam thought of. Four Christmases.
Nowhere in Mulberry. What's going on? This is Adam. Hey, my computer crashed, so I did not get a chance to do an MP3 voicemail, so I'm having a call from my cell phone here. And I have not got a chance to download the latest episode of Nowhere in Mulberry, so I'll have to probably listen to it at a computer at some point here just to keep up. Let you guys know I am listening to episode 100 of Nowhere in Mulberry Old School. It's quite an achievement, and I got a little choked up listening to the opening montage of all the clips and everything. It was pretty neat.
Cool.
But anyways, heading right into my Four Christmases review, I went ahead and watched it with my mom and dad and my wife and my cousin. And we had a few laughs. Starts out good, starts out not strong, I wouldn't say, but they kind of show the rapport with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon. And they're, you know, it's they don't want to get married, they don't want to have kids, they don't want to go see their family because all their, like, both of their parents are divorced. And so it's kind of got a good setup, you know. Unrealistically, they get fogged in San Francisco. I live about 20 minutes from San Francisco. Yeah, it gets foggy, but never that foggy where a bunch of flights are delayed. But whatever. You know, it's a Christmas movie. It's a comedy. You let things go. So it's
like
actually
that,
not bad. I had a few laughs. Vince Vaughn's doing his same old shtick, you know, and that's okay. A lot of people get annoyed. Like, I'm tired of seeing Ben Stiller. He's getting annoying. He just acts the same in every movie. You know, I got a lot of friends that act the same every time I see them. I still enjoy being around them. So with me, I don't really get old of people's shtick like that.
Adam.
Like, I can still watch a Ben Stiller movie if it's a halfway decent movie. If he acts the same, I'm fine with that. But anyways, that's just me. But as soon as they get to the first parent's house, things just go from, like, somewhat funny to just downright zany. And there's a few, like, out-of-control moments that are kind of reminiscent to, like, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where there's some things happening. But, like I said, it just went from, like, a lighthearted comedy
I'm
to just downright zaniness, like falling off roofs, wrestling with Jon Favreau. Vince Vaughn was wrestling with him. And it's just weird. And the main thing that was really bad is this is what's really sad. I don't know why movies like this can't do the serious moment, like the actual plot point. I don't know why they can't do those any better than they do them. It's like Reese Witherspoon finally decides she wants to have kids after this crazy day of being around all these family members. And then Vince Vaughn, his character's like, no, I don't want to have them. And so then she's like, well, then it's over. And then she goes into her dad's house, and it's like
best
her dad hardly says
made.
Anything to her, and it shows her, like, sitting around drinking wine and eggnog, like thinking about things, and then her dad comes in, who's played by John Voight. It's like, is that his name? Angelina Jolie's dad. I can't think of his name right now for some reason. But anyways, he's playing the good dad, like the only sane one out of all these family members, and there's just really nothing that even really happens. It's just kind of weird, and it's like in about a 5-minute span in the movie, it's like, there's the conflict and then the resolution. And I'm sorry about the spoiler. I hope I didn't spoil anything.
Oh,
but
crap.
And then I'm just thinking to myself, you know, this movie wouldn't have been so bad if they would have been able to handle this part a little bit better. Like, I was telling my wife, we watched a Hallmark commercial the other day, and they did a better job of handling the serious stuff. Then it's like, couldn't the people that made Four Christmases got a hold of these Hallmark commercial people and said, hey, do our serious part in our movie. We'll take care of the funny stuff. But I don't know. Some of it was funny. Some of it was just downright stupid. And Kevin from The Office had a cameo in it, so that was pretty exciting. But
awesome.
Other than that, it was just not that great of a movie. But I probably will never watch it again. But
no,
I mean, it was okay.
On,
but and I like it was a fun watch.
Not a holiday staple.
My family and stuff, and they're not all as cynical as I am. So, anyways, or critical as I am. But anyways, there's your review, and it's not going to be nearly as entertaining as Rick's, I'm sure. But you got to do what you got to do. So anyways, hey, you guys have a Merry Christmas. I'm sure I'll probably call you a few more times. And I have a confession to make. About 20 to 25 episodes ago, I was Mike Spangler. I tried to do like a Eugene thing. I thought that was funny. I thought I hadn't listened to a lot of shows at that point, so I thought maybe a lot of people called in with weird characters. And I did the Mike Spangler thing, and it wasn't funny.
Wait, what?
And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, and I'm going to admit that. And I feel ashamed, and I feel terrible about it. But at least I can come out and say it to you guys. So anyways, I don't even know if you even remember it, but I kept saying things like, the podcast is all is just aces or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, well, it's making me laugh. But anyways,
aces.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good show. Bye.
Well, thanks, Adam. I'm sorry. I didn't know Mike Spangler was his
name.
Yeah,
now that he said what it was, I remember.
Did you say, like, hi, I'm Mike Spangler? I don't remember that, but I remember aces.
Yeah.
Adam, have Mike Spangler call back in. I don't mind. But thanks for that review. So basically, I know that I shouldn't see the movie.
About the only reason I wanted to see it was directed by Seth Gordon, who did King of Kong. And
oh,
I think
really?
Steve Wiebe makes a cameo in
it. Oh, nice. See, he didn't say that. That's enough to get me to watch it once. Like on
Yeah, that's why I'll watch it just for that.
Awesome. Okay.
Because Steve Wiebe's the king.
He is. Now, Adam, next time you review something, I want you to call in after you've been drinking at the ESPN Zone. What is it called?
Yeah.
Something like that. Call from a sports bar, something like that. That's just how we do reviews.
Have a few beers. Have a few beers in you.
Yeah. So, all right, we've got a voicemail from Sean. Hey! And I want anybody who's listening to know, if you want to be like Sean, Adam, or Rick, just call 1-206-202-3491, send us a voicemail. Or go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an MP3 file of your recorded voice telling us stuff. It'd be awesome. Now let's check out what Sean has to say.
Hey guys, Sean here. Just finished listening to you guys' last episode and have to agree with many of the things you guys talked about. For one, Facebook chat does suck a lot. And also, Miami Vice was really, really boring. Yeah, I'm a big Michael Mann fan, but I watched Miami Vice in the theaters and that thing actually put me to sleep, just like Mulberry Bill, so don't feel bad about that. Good Lord, was that movie boring.
It's a good remedy
but
for insomnia, though.
You know what's not boring? Steven Seagal, Lawman, which you guys talked about last week, which was awesome. And, you know, I just watched this week's episode, the one with the canines, and I've come to the conclusion that Steven Seagal is kind of a sadistic bastard, or a sadistic bully at least, because, you know, last week he picked on that poor little Asian man and kept tossing him around. This week he's, like, sending his two crazy dogs, sicking them on these poor trainers and having them attack them. I felt so bad for them. But other than that,
dangerous.
You know, the show's great. Your show and Steven Seagal's show. I love his spidey
better,
sense that comes into play where, you know, he sees the flick of a wrist or a tilt of a head.
We got a couple moments
because, you
of that
know,
this week.
He's a lifelong practitioner of the martial arts.
He
so
is.
He's good at that stuff. But yeah, great show last week, and you guys take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Sean. You know, we'll be talking about Lawman a little bit later, but yeah, the thing with the dogs, aren't you supposed to wear padding or something when you have dogs jumping on you? Shouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, the one guy was all scratched up from it.
I mean, is he just lazy? Like, nah, I don't need the pads.
I don't need the pads.
Dogs are heavy and they throw all their weight on you. That could hurt, you know?
Was it the big shepherds? Yeah.
I want to see Seagal, like, tape some pillows around him. Here, hold still. Got some duct tape. Dogs won't hurt you.
If you use your lifelong practitioner of the martial arts, there's no pain.
He's also a lifelong practitioner of dog training, apparently.
Yeah.
But we'll get more into that later. Now, thanks, Sean, for the voicemail. And now we have a voicemail from Rick. Let's see what Rick has to tell us.
You sound like you're from London.
No, he's from Australia, not London. All right, let's check this out.
Hey, guys, it's Rick again. Did you watch Curse of the Komodo? Yeah. If you did, tell me about it. I'll just be quiet for a second.
Awesome.
Oh, really? Yeah, me too. I loved it. Right on. If you didn't watch it, well, screw you. Whatever. Oh, yeah. Everything's okay. Yeah, you know how last time there was some crackling going on? That was from my cheap-ass microphone.
Now there's just a whining sound.
Usually when I record for any period of time, for about, you know, 3 to 5 seconds, somewhere amongst that, there's that crackling effect. And I usually cut it out, but with that one, I couldn't be bothered because it was a last-minute job, so that's what I was in. I'm not a robot, just so you know. I don't know. I might be, you know. It's that whole... You never know anything thing.
I think I have tinnitus.
What is he talking about?
I think he's in a power substation.
Good show last week, guys. Solid show. Solid effort. You know, I am jealous of what you've accomplished. 185 shows, you know, you've created, put some effort into. You know, that's really cool. You know, you should pat yourself on the back every week and go, you know what? You know, we've put some effort into this shit. You can't,
that's exactly
like,
what
you
I
can
say
never
to
stop, yeah. Really. Unless one of you's die.
What?
It's not funny if you die. Wow, Rick, just stop it right there. That's just terrible.
Some dark thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep going forever. That's all I'm saying. Another 3 beers down. I'm feeling good.
We'll be like the dude in Last Crusade.
You know, last thing you said,
cave,
you know, 3 beers is the right amount to lose your inhibitions without slurring your words too much. And I was like, yeah, that's right. 3 beers, that's my new rule. 3 beers, then voicemail. We'll see how it works. I like it so far.
This voicemail was recorded in 3B.
You know, I get a bit touchy-feely when I'm a bit drunk. So it's not good, especially when there's, you know, sexy women around. I get in trouble for my wife, but not very often. I don't, like, if...
He's digging
I don't
it.
Even know what I'm saying.
He's digging
and
it deep.
It doesn't really happen.
Quicksand.
But I'm saying, like, I could get in trouble if there was a lot... what the... So... God damn it. Anyway, yeah, 3 beers is the right amount to have.
All right, we need to have 3 beers before doing the show next week.
Worried about what you're saying. Just like that. Hopefully Ellie doesn't listen to this one. You know, you burp a bit, but, you know, that's because you're slamming it down too fast, Rick. Slow it down. I don't have enough time, all right? I need to drink and do the voicemail. I don't have a lot of time. Just do it, all right? All right, what do you guys want for Christmas?
Huh?
All right, I've got to know now because we're coming up to it and I've got to send it soon. Otherwise, I won't get there in time, you know? So let me know what you want for Christmas, because I'm getting you all something. What? Mm. I just decided to do that right then. Yeah, I did.
Curse of the Komodo on Blu-ray.
You like gadgets? Everyone loves gadgets, man. I'm just crazy for the gadgets.
Any Jim Wynorski film.
It's nothing to do with pop culture. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to ask a question on my Watchmen review. Bill, you probably know the answer. You know when Adrian comes to the comedian's place and the comedian chucks a mug at him and he dodges and it hits the door and it's got 300 on the door? Is that part of the comic or is that like I did 300 Zack Snyder bit?
That's exactly what that is.
Know the answer to that because you've read the comic.
It's a wink to 300.
Yeah. Yep. Yes or no, that's all I wanted to know. And Steve,
no, that's not in
the
comic. Yes, it's a
Ticks.
Wink to 300.
Yeah, no, nice. Thank you. Seth Green just turned me right off it straight away.
Holy shit.
Oh, I didn't remember. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Wow. Wrong.
Wait, what?
So
Seth Green's
I think
in
I'll
Ticks.
Give Ticks a miss.
Oh. Thanks, oh, anyway. That's fine, Rick. Yeah.
So that's it, guys. Have a great show. Lots of love. All that loving shit, you know? Life should be about love and unity. Not gay love, but, you know, just a appreciation for other people. Nothing sexual about it. Love's pure in that, you know? So, this was Rick. Rick from Australia. I've had 3 beers and I feel good. I feel delicious. And just so you know, I was being weird on purpose.
Okay, I figured that part out.
I love drunken philosophy, though.
All right, thanks, Rick. Thanks for that voicemail. As always, every week, we love to hear from Rick. And I'm so glad he likes the show, and we entertain him. And I feel relief after that whining sound is gone.
Yeah, so do I.
My poor ears.
The mosquito humming in the background.
I think I'm going to get him something for Christmas.
Yeah.
A microphone.
You know what was funny is, after Curse of the Komodo, when I looked it up on YouTube, I saw that Jim Wynorski directed it, and I started laughing because he does all those ridiculous, bad Skinamax movies with lots of breasts, and he does like the... What is it, like the Bear Winch project, and he does like...
I thought you were going to say like the Bikini Car Wash.
Yeah, like House on Hooter Hill.
Yeah. If you just look at Jim Wynorski and IMDb, the guy is a genius. Oh, and my favorite is the Witches of Breastwick. Awesome title, dude.
I just recently saw that. I didn't watch the movie, but I saw the title on stuff.
That's Jim Wynorski. The guy's a genius, man.
The best is Busty Cops.
Yeah.
It's these 3 porn stars that just... Basically, it's an excuse for them to have lesbian softcore sex throughout
right.
the entire
like,
thing.
Right, they're just like, let's take a shower. And it's just
I swear that scene's in it.
Long sequences of showers or whatever. But the guy's a genius. The guy made a career for himself just making direct-to-Cinemax movies. The guy is a genius, right? He's the master. So, guys, what do you say we check out some entertainment? Whoa. You know, whenever I look at before the show starts, I look at Rotten Tomatoes to see what movies came out today. And I can't believe how many movies came out. First of all, that new Clint Eastwood film, Invictus, came out. The Lovely Bones came out. That's the new Peter Jackson film. And I guess it's released in select theaters, Bill, Slammin' Salmon, the new Broken Lizard film. I don't even know if it's showing around me, but I really want to see that.
I love Broken Lizard.
And then the Princess and the Frog, the new Disney flick, which I think is really cool that it's 2D animation, that part.
Yeah, it's hand-drawn, too. So.
And it's supposed to be really good. I know Emma wants to see it. But Slammin' Salmon, I really want to see that, and I got to see if it's showing around us, if we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks or whatever. Because you guys remember a couple weeks ago, the Fantastic Mr. Fox did come out eventually, but I was like, hey, it's out or whatever. But it wasn't out locally. It was just out in select theaters. So
probably on the other side of Dallas. And
I hate the select theaters crap. You know, go to downtown or wherever and then go see this at a shitty art house theater. That's what it means, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think Slammin' Salmon is being distributed by Anchor Bay, which I've only ever known as a DVD company.
Yeah, it is weird. But it looks funny as shit. I really want to see that.
It does.
The Lovely Bones.
And I mean, come on. Michael Clark Duncan is an ex-boxer who's in debt to the mob and has a restaurant.
It looks funny. And I love how one of the Broken Lizard guys has a twin, just like in Beer Fest. You
know? Yeah.
It's like there's 2 of them. That's hilarious. But I was going to say, The Lovely Bones, Peter Jackson's new film. I kind of want to see that. You know, I know it's a book that a lot of people have talked about for a long time. I have heard about the book for a long time, and I've always wanted to read it. So I don't know.
I've always heard it's horribly depressing.
Yeah, I've heard that it's got the good and the bad. You know what I mean? It's a lot of tragedy and stuff like that. Invictus, I don't know.
I have absolutely no desire
you know
to see that.
What's going on with Clint Eastwood is usually what happens is, I mean, honestly, whatever compels him to direct a certain story, doesn't interest me usually, and usually I see it on either from Netflix or on cable. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, the boxing flick with the Hillary Clinton.
Million
Schling.
Dollar. Oh, yeah.
There's no way in hell I wanted to see that in the theater. I was like, oh, no.
I still have no desire to see it.
But well, it's actually an excellent movie.
Or Mystic River. Wow, that looks depressing. And it is depressing, but it's a
really depressing.
Really well-made film. So, I mean, I trust Clint Eastwood. It's just like, I don't want to watch that right now.
I just don't care about the story that, you know, Nelson Mandela, as president, wants to get the rugby team to win the World Cup. That I don't care.
See, I didn't even know that's what it was about. So awesome.
yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear about it again during Oscar time. Who knows? I don't know. But that's pretty much it until Avatar comes out, right?
I was interested in the Slammin' Salmon, that one.
Slammin' Salmon. So we'll definitely.
Avatar's what, next Friday? I'll definitely see it Friday morning.
Like today, I took, you know, always Friday after school, I take Emma by McDonald's. I get her a Happy Meal. She got an Avatar toy, and you hit a little button, and it lights up with little glowy lights inside of it.
And Jason took it away from her, and he won't let her play with it.
Yeah, I was like, thank you. This is a collector's item. No, I'm not like that, but I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really cool, and it matches with the Christmas light, so I can stick it in the tree or something. But, you know, I will say, you know how it's like, I try not to get too excited, but I am really excited about Avatar, but to the point where I don't want to talk about it too much. Just, I'm going to go see it when it comes out, you know?
Well, yeah, there's really no reason to talk about it. It just got to see it.
Right. And, you know, a bunch of reviews came out today, Bill, from people who've seen it. I guess they went to the premiere you were talking about in, was it in London?
There was premieres all over. I think there was one in London, one in Vancouver. I think I'm in Los Angeles.
So a lot of people will try to tell you what they thought of Avatar, Steven, before you can see it. Do you really care what they thought? Wouldn't you rather see it yourself?
I really don't ever look at reviews.
I saw that a week ago. Screw you. That's what I have to say.
I'm not buying that crap anymore.
But yeah, Avatar, I'm really excited, but I don't really want to read reviews. I just want to see it myself, you know, because all it does is make me jealous that somebody, this guy I'm reading about, has already seen it. But like you were saying, Simon Pegg loved it. Something like that I want to hear. Like someone.
Yeah, he was on. He twatted that he was speechless. Yeah, that it just was so, it was more than he expected, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that I thought it was funny on Conan, Ben Stiller was on there. And Conan was like, well, what do you got going on or whatever? He goes, I'm here to talk about Avatar. And he's like, are you in the film? And he's like, no. It's like, do you have anything to do with it? No, I just think it's really cool, and I brought a clip with me. I want to show everybody. And they're like, okay. And the clip they showed was awesome. It just, like, looked incredible. So I was like, hey, I'll take it. Thanks. So, anyway, we'll talk more about Avatar next week. But, you know, will we be doing a show next week? I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Why wouldn't we do one next week?
I don't know, because I might want to go see Avatar.
Oh, I got you.
Really? All right, guys.
We'll do a Saturday night show after we see Avatar Friday night.
It's possible. I'm not going to make any promise. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. All right, guys, let's go right into Chef Academy. I'm still watching the show with Chef Novelli and his group of people who haven't had any formal training except for a couple of people, right, Bill?
His misfits,
It seems like the two best students have been to cooking school, so...
Yeah, and the two weirdo porn guys, right?
No, the one girl named Zoe, and she actually...
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't do too well this week, because he taught them how to make bread. The way you make bread, you add some water, and you spray it, and all that kind of thing. But here's what the main thing is. Chef Novelli's wife is pregnant, and the blonde chick wants to kiss some ass, so she decides to have a baby shower at her house, and she's real excited to show everyone her house. It's obvious that she has money, or her husband does, or whatever. She's got a really big house, but it looks like, do you think she has much taste, Bill?
Yeah, I think that might be lacking.
What's great is when she's showing them her big house and everything, she shows them this room, they walk in, and it's got a lot of trophies of animals, like big game type of animals, and they're all kind of shocked by it. Just check this out, and Chef Novelli, he's pretty shocked too.
Okay, here's the deal. This is the room that might be interesting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Wait, is that a real elephant?
It is.
Oh my god. All those animals on the wall. It was like a dry circus.
My husband's a big game hunter, so my house clearly is full of all sorts of animals.
Let's call the elephant out in the room, shall we? It's an elephant and a giraffe. These are harmless animals. The bears, I get it. Oh, sh**. Lion, I get it. A giraffe, it eats leaves.
You know, a giraffe has always been my favorite animal since I was a little kid. I don't really have a favorite animal anymore, but you know, when you're a kid, I love giraffe.
Well, giraffes were just cool. The big long necks and the little horns. And
the idea of a guy friggin' shooting a giraffe, what the hell is that?
He is obviously trying to compensate for something.
I mean, he shoots a rhino, a lion, a bear. He's like, oh, giraffe.
It's just funny because the room reminded me of that Roadhouse.
The Roadhouse room. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I'm picturing that in my
Brad
head.
Wesley's trophy room that him and Dalton have the final fight in.
Yeah, how great would that have been? Her husband walks in. Oh, here's my husband. And it's
Brad
the guy from a Roadhouse. Holy shit, she's married to that guy. He drives up in Bigfoot. He's like, hey, Novelli, move your car.
Bigfoot wasn't his.
I'm just trying things together.
He drove the red LeBaron, the convertible.
He has his men drive over Novelli's car with Bigfoot.
Tinker.
Tinker.
Well, I know that movie way too well.
It would have to be Tinker because he was the only one left alive.
Well, he said Tinker. Polar bear fell on me.
All right, so also, okay, we've talked about last week is Chef Novelli loves to tease the
he's
people
a dick.
On there. Yeah, what he does is he makes you think you failed, or he looks at you, what did you put in there? What is in there? And you're like, oh, well, and he's like, ah, you did great.
So, well, he always says, you're a pain in the ass.
He goes, I got to tell like, you pain in the ass.
Oh, really?
What? What'd I do? Ah, it's like, what? What is your problem? So this guy, he teaches everybody to make bread, and their project is they've got to make some decent bread and put filling in it. And it looked really cool and everything. But this one guy decides to make cinnamon rolls, which I didn't know if... Isn't that different than just bread? That's what I was
thinking.
Yeah,
I would think that's a pastry.
Right, so he makes this, and Chef Novelli tastes it, and he's like, oh, that's great. Okay, I'm going to go to the toilettes. And you tell him I get sick, and you ask him, what you put in there? Ah, ha, ha. And so this is what happens. It's just really stupid.
It's very simple. What I'm looking for from the bread is the crunch,
bread.
The color, the smell, and the texture.
Out of everybody so far, this is the best things I've saw.
Thank you. I made a cinnamon roll with walnuts and raspberry and sugar and cinnamon. And he's like, this is the best looking one so far, but let's see how it tastes.
Actually, I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to go next door.
Go
next door. I need time, you see? I don't want to see you. I'm going to call you in the next 3 minutes.
This is super.
Yeah.
This is the best things I've done today. Huh?
Okay. What are you going to do? You're going to go over there. I'm going to rush to the toilet. And you're going to say, where do you put in your bread? Because
he's
you're on the Russian set to the toilet.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What did you put in your bread?
I am hilarious.
What did you put in your bread?
I wonder what it was.
It's
fine.
Some
there's nothing else in there.
Big deal.
I've never seen him run off like that.
Maybe he's having a week.
You're right.
In the loo.
It just dropped the deuce.
Right. Can I say something between you and I?
Sure.
You are a penny to us. You are.
Really?
Yeah, you are.
Why?
Because I was really, really hoping that would be good enough. I'm afraid it's not good enough. It's absolutely excellent. You pass the test.
Jesus Christ.
Well done, Kyle.
How the hell do you do that?
You pass
the
test. This is absolutely... This is the best bread so far.
He just likes to play those little games. I think that's just his personality. And he sees that it really gets to me, so he's like, oh, found one.
You know what's also funny is that he does the little cooking demonstrations that I find entertaining, where he's like showing them how to cook something. He made some weird stacked pastry thing. I don't know what the hell it was, but
croquembouche.
He showed all of his students watching it. They're just looking at him, and he's like, oh, then you dip it in here, and you twist this around. And they do this guy, this one guy, he's like, I don't understand a word Chef Novelli's saying. I just kind of nod and smile. And I just kind of try to figure it out later, but I don't understand a word he said.
That's the gangbang guy.
Yeah, that was hilarious because I was like, how do they understand him? Because I know I don't unless they have subtitles.
Well, I thought it was funny that Novelli makes this croquembouche, and it's absolutely horrendous looking. It's just ugly, and I think one person even said that is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
It's like, I've seen croquembouches made, and they're beautiful. This thing is a disaster.
Well, normally they're enormous. Like, they're almost as tall as a person.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And yeah, his thing, it was like this weird, it just like foo-fooed way too much, like too much shit on it. Like,
he loves doing the sponge sugar.
Yeah, what is that weird, webbing or whatever?
Yeah, it's really ugly.
It's a sacrilege.
Yeah,
sacrilege.
It's like, if you take this to wedding, it must hold together, so go cross the street with it. Like,
that was ridiculous.
They're like walking across the street so to see if it falls apart.
You must jog a marathon with this.
Yeah, go jogging around block. It's like,
you have to keep it like a baby all day. You break it, you fail.
Impossible gangbang.
No, have your little gangbang while holding this. It's like, oh, okay. Balance it on your bald head.
Get Emmanuel, he will help you.
Balance it on your bald head.
See if it falls apart. Yeah, good times.
Good.
I love Chef Novelli. It has just... The way that he does that little, when he says something, his accent is hilarious. So he's like, oh, the whole room is filled with animals. You know, it's like, there's no way he could say that without sounding ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
Why? What's wrong? I don't understand. But that's what's hilarious about him.
Oh my God.
Right. And did you like that also, the...
Yeah, it felt like I was going on safari.
You sound like you're from London.
Yeah, he's from London. All right, let's go ahead and talk about Lawman before we talk about Cake Boss this week. I'm tricking things up, Steven. Dude. Don't want to get people too lax and into it, but what was it? Was the first episode about his dogs?
Yes.
First of all, okay, the show's called Lawman.
Not Dogman.
Law Dog.
Yeah, focus on his police career. Do we really need a side story about his dog?
It should be just like, you know, the cops episode. Just follow the dude around.
Yeah.
If he's going to, you know, talk about dogs, then make him be with the canine unit.
Right, and they even show one point where they call the canine unit to sniff out for drugs in this car. Of course, they didn't find anything, which was a bummer for the audience, right? Kind of like, oh.
Well, it's so annoying because the entire time Seagal's like, he hitting on something? He hitting on something?
Yeah.
He hitting on something? It's like, shut up, dude.
I know. And what about the weird stories? Like, we may have a possible child hit by a vehicle or whatever. They're like, oh, gosh, it's never good when... kid is hurt, and they go over there.
Yeah, it turns out the kid was running across the street and ran right into a car.
And it's the middle of the night, too. And also, one thing I noticed is they keep calling the little boy Piggy. At least that's what it sounds like. Piggy!
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought maybe I was hearing something.
What kind of nickname is that for a child? Piggy. But anyway, let's check this out.
Me eat a lot.
And Bill, we were kind of like talking about this, Bill, is that when Steven Seagal is just talking... He sounds in his normal voice, but whenever he's out on the street talking to suspicious persons. Yeah, he gets street and he starts,
yeah.
Hey, mama, this is your baby. He does that weird Louisiana.
It's not even street. It's offensive. I mean, if I was a person who had the inflection of that's like down there, like a person in the street, and he walked up to me and started talking, I'd look at him like, what the hell are you doing?
He's like, I'll get
Why are you talking to me
team?
Like that?
Yeah, let's just, here's an example. Let's check this out.
He said he didn't hit him.
Well, come here, buddy. You see this lady right here? She said that she saw you hit that boy.
He was hit. Okay.
No, I swear, well, I've done it.
No. Come on. No. You still hit him, though.
The martial art that I practice is called Aikido, which is all about harmony and oneness. And there's an awful lot of arguing going on here, so I'm going to see if I can promote a little harmony.
Harmony and oneness.
That's your baby? Where mama?
Come on, piggy.
There is a possibility that based on the child being so small that if you were driving, you wouldn't even recognize them.
I see in a white shirt. That would
right,
be
but we got the ambulance coming. The ambulance will be able to tell.
Wait, Lord of the Flies?
They said this baby got hit by a car, contusion on top of the head and blood coming out the nose. But if we could just get an idea if he had any kind of a concussion or something.
He was out in the street?
No, he was coming back over here.
He was running across the street? There's a couple of things wrong here. What's a baby running out in the middle of the street at this time of night?
That's a red flag.
How did mama let him go?
Yeah, she's the mama.
Are you the mama?
You don't know about them street babies?
Yeah, man, what you think? You better get him looked at, yeah?
Okay.
All right. And these little children, they're fast, boy. Somebody got to keep an eye on them, you know what I'm saying? You know, just really never let them out your sight.
Never let them out your sight, Stephen.
Wow. I guess to talk street, you replace the T with a D.
Yeah.
Day, dat.
That's your baby?
That's your baby?
Yo, what is that?
And these little children, they fast, boy.
These little children.
They fast.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Osprey.
He's an incredibly wise
Did you like
Buddhist.
That later on when they see other suspicious persons? Wait, hold on a second. You know, they go over there.
Spidey.
She's like, "You, Steven Seagal? That's crazy." My auntie, she loves your movies. What about you?
Yeah,
I don't watch them.
I love they take this wad of like ones and fives.
Oh man,
out of this guy's pocket, and he's like, "Can I borrow $5?"
God, I wish we had to draw for that now. I know. Can I borrow $5? The way that Steven Seagal says it is hilarious. And then, you know, I thought it was touching. Whenever anybody spends time with sick children, it's nice. And I felt, you know, he goes to the hospital, there's kids with leukemia and stuff. And there's this poor kid who's in a sealed room, you know, because you can't go in there because of germs.
Yeah, he's immunodepressed.
And he wants to open the door because he wants probably somebody to hang out with him so bad. And they tell him to shut the door. I felt sorry for that kid. But Steven Seagal has this great idea. Put on a concert for these little guys. He can play.
Yeah, who wouldn't like music from the Crystal Cave?
He's a lifelong practitioner of the blues, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing. When he's talking about his dogs, he's like, "I've been training dogs all my life." And later he's like, "I've been playing the blues all my life." It's like, Jesus,
what have you done?
Have you ever started anything last week? Everything's
no,
like,
the moment he came out of his mother's vagina, he started playing guitar.
So what are you doing?
I play Zen guitar.
Yeah, it's that, you got to push the strings.
Yeah, I love that album cover. It was
the
like,
music just come to you.
What is it?
Yeah, like he's hugging the guitar.
What is it called? Into the Crystal Cave? Or
no, Songs from the Crystal Cave.
And he's holding the guitar up, and you see his little turquoise ring on his finger.
Wow,
it's awesome. But yeah, there's a lot less police work in this one. It seemed like and. More of him jamming out, you know?
I thought that was Doc Gibbs and Cliff.
Yeah.
From Emerald Live.
Did that band, let me ask you guys this, when he's talking to them, they seem like they didn't know him at all? That's what it seemed like to me.
No, they have no idea who he is.
Like,
they put an ad up on Craigslist.
He's like, "I need to put a band together for this this little thing here." And
they went and found some little band that plays every night that has no clue who he is.
And I should have known. I can't believe I fell for that last week when he's like, "My dogs could have killed him." I was thinking somebody broke into his house. No, Jason. Totally fooled by the manipulated editing of the previews. It was just him training the dogs in his house. And one thing is, I laughed when it was a different guy the second time. The first guy was like, I'm not doing that anymore. Get this jacket.
I ain't getting attacked by his stupid dogs.
Not without a protective suit.
Yeah, that was.
You don't need a suit.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having dogs like that, but it's also kind of scary. Like, you have a weapon at any time, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he should have something like that. But, yeah, Lawman, we'll check out more of that later. But I got to say that not as exciting as last week, you know? Kind of fell flat.
Yeah, they got to have more suspicious peoples.
Yeah, suspicious persons. They always pull over. Hold on a second. Is he going for something over there? And, you know, it's some guy who lied about who he was. He uses his mother's name.
I love the one guy keeps asking him what his name is.
And what is that weird terminology for Louisiana or whatever? What was it called? Like, God, I can't even remember what term they called it. They didn't call it a warrant for his arrest. He had some kind of...
An attachment.
He had a
traffic attachment?
Yeah. He goes, it looks like you have some open attachments. And it said when he served his time.
Oh, I better close them. Sorry.
when he closed his attachments or something like that. Had, that's like weird.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like they don't have counties like we have.
They have parishes.
They get parishes, yeah. So it's all based.
They're all weird up there. They talking that weird kind of like language or whatever, you know?
That weird jive turkey.
Creole.
Yeah, they sound like they all sound like a bunch of Chef Novellis, don't they?
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Yes.
All right, let's talk about.
Paul sounds exactly like that when he talks the street.
Chef Novelli, let's talk about the cake boss, huh? Because this week we got a drag queen.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, hello, Miss Richmond, and let's just play the clip. That's all I got, man.
Yeah.
I want to order a cake, and I'm here to talk to Buddy. Are you the man? Get over here. Miss Richfield, 1981.
Oh, hi.
What's your name?
I'm Buddy.
Buddy, sit down, sit down. I have some very exciting news for you.
Oh, yeah?
Well, first of all, I'm Miss Richfield, 1981, from Richfield, Minnesota, where butter is a spice and gravy is a beverage.
Miss Richfield is yapping.
And I'm going to be bringing my Christmas program to New York City. And I'm very excited. So I came all the way over here to order a cake. I want it to be big. So I'm thinking, I hope you don't think this is too crazy. I'd like to pop out of the cake. Just right, roll it out. I'm just seeing this in my head. I'm rolling it on stage. And then I'm popping out of the cake. And I think it's going to be great. I mean, have you ever done a cake like that?
No, I've never made somebody pop out of a cake.
Now, I do have a costume I'd like to wear, though.
Wow. This
really,
is a lovely Christmas tree costume. Would I be able to wear that and pop out of the cake at the same time?
I hope so. You know what? Let me call my assistant Mario down.
Oh, fabulous.
And, you know, he'll bring a tape measure. We'll measure up.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, I can't wait.
Mauro's going to measure him. Oh, God.
Does Mauro look like a seamstress?
Oh, my word.
Oh,
come to Mama. Hello, how are you, Doc? Come on over here, Mario.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Oh, fantastic.
Mario's like us. She's pretty hot.
Now, I'm going to be popping out of this cake. I'm going to have a star on my head, and I'm going to be dressed like a Christmas tree.
She puts the thing between her legs, and she starts playing Silent Night.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was the most weird and beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life.
All right, and listen, I've got to run now. I wish I could stay and talk.
Gender
Goodbye.
Yeah, I was changing.
Nice to see you. Love your hair. All right, so long, everyone. Goodbye.
I was repulsed and aroused at the same time.
The way we're going to make this cake is we'll cut a hole in the table,
listen.
And then we'll build something that looks like a chimney up from that. And that's where the chimney can pop out and be like, yoo-hoo.
Oh, you don't say a chimney.
Put an extra eye in there.
Just like,
what the hell does he think he's in Mary Poppins
just
all
like
of a sudden?
Chimney Cricket or something. But when he said chimney, I was like, "What? Wait, hold on a second." Just backed it up.
You know, I didn't catch that.
Hey, when I was watching chimney over there, you know,
a chimney.
The envisionments of his chimneys. Now, you know, what was funny is we talked about, like, last season, it was always Stretch, Stretch, Stretch. This season, it's always Anthony. Now they brought Anthony and Stretch together. They're in the same room together. It's crazy. And it turns out,
I guess, they finally got up enough money to pay them both.
Yeah. These two hot chicks come in there, and you see Anthony scoping them out. He's like, "Yo, check it out, hot chicks," or whatever. And they're like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, completely out of their league.
Yeah, and they're like telling Buddy, "Hey, you got to let us deliver." "Oh, yeah, you can deliver the cake if you dress up like elves." But I was like,
I would have sent them to Miss Richmond to dress them up.
Yeah.
Hello, boys.
How much funnier would that have been? Dress them up like elves. They think they're going to deliver it to those ladies, but instead.
Miss Richmond?
Miss Richmond. Yeah. "Oh, come in, you handsome young man." They're like, "Ah." And as I
can
had
you
this,
help me zip my skirt up?
My Christmas tree dress. I had this
for
idea.
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
As I was watching this, I was like, I want to see a Porky's type movie with Anthony and Stretch, huh? Like American Pie, something like that. Come on, that'd be great. Straight to video, Jim Wynorski directs it.
Awesome. Miss Richmond's in it.
Oh, no! You just ruined it, Steven. Ah.
Yeah, that's perfect. They get tricked into going into Miss Richmond. That makes my eyes water.
Wow.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
It's like, where did she get the saw from? Because she didn't come in with it.
Where are you hiding that?
She had a stash.
No, wait. I have another clip. They can't get the friggin' cake in the door, you guys. Oh, my God.
Well, you would think that they would... you know, try to make the cake not as wide as a standard door.
You would think they would measure it. They wouldn't start, like, trying to ram it through the door.
Well, like, yeah.
It's not fitting. It's not fitting.
It's like when you're cutting it out of a big square table, you're going to go, "I wonder if this will fit through a door."
Yeah. Now, let's go ahead and check this out. This is when Miss Richmond shows up, and she wants to know. She wants to bring the cake inside. Here's what happens.
No, it's not she. It's he.
Oh, yeah. That's what Buddy keeps calling it. She.
Referring to a gender-confused person as she.
Let's check this out.
Oh, my Lord, my cake is here!
Oh, God.
I'm just going to start the show. So roll it in.
Wait, inside.
No, we don't have time to talk. We have to go quick.
No.
Please. We're going to start the show.
It don't fit through the door.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's not going to fit.
Got to get in. Okay, wait. What about, can we do it outside? Can we do it outside? What about if I bring the audience out here real quick?
You want to do the cake out here?
Yes. Matt, go get the people. Go
you want to do it outside?
Oh, yes.
Matt?
Here we go.
Everybody get a corner.
I can't get my outfit ruined.
I like when they seal them up. I'm going to push the cart inside.
Up. Oh, I think they, oh, goodbye. Oh, my. Oh, it's dark in here. Scary.
Okay, are we straight?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Miss Richfield sends her manager, Matt, to go get the audience, and there's 150 people. It's crazy. And bada-boom!
Hey, happy holidays, everybody!
Hey, and it's a whole gay audience.
That's really?
Right.
This was unreal. This made opening night fantastic. You guys really... Oh,
wow. Mario,
oh, thank you
guys,
so
give him a hug.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, we're going to leave you. Take care.
Bye.
Right, at least I think that's what he was doing.
I don't know how I'm going to get myself out of here, but I might have to eat my way out, which I'm okay with, fortunately. You know, it's the holidays. I can put on a few pounds.
Did you notice when he was Miss Richmond, he was eating the cake, it was the fondant stripped off just bare cake part?
Yeah.
What is the point of these cakes?
I have no idea.
Can you not eat it with icing at any time? But you know, I know some of those cakes, they have like the chocolate stuff on top of it or whatever, but it just doesn't look appetizing. I don't know.
You go in there, I want to order a cake, but... don't use any fondant, please.
That guy's more gay than Dame Edna. That's some serious gayness going on there.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, I can't wait.
Now, do you think if you said, I want a cake, but I don't want any cereal, treats, or fondant, would Buddy go, what?
And I want it to look like, yeah. And I want it to look like.
I want it to be round and look like a cake. Can you do that?
Can you do a standard sheet cake?
Oh, my.
I don't want any sponge. I want regular cake.
Yeah. I want regular vanilla cake with chocolate icing and just a name on it.
Oh, and
can you put two candles on it to have an age, you know, 13, 12?
That part where Buddy's like, and of course, you know, us being guys, we start talking about, like, which one of us would be a better-looking drag queen? I'm like, I don't think that would ever come up.
The conversation I have regularly when hanging out with guys.
And then at the end...
We've yet to have that conversation, me, you, and Jason.
His brother-in-law, he's like in a dress or whatever, and he's like, yeah, just take the friggin' cupcakes already. That was just so bad and staged or whatever. But
It was. It was staged.
When Stretch and what's his head and Anthony go to visit the girls or the
what's
women.
His head?
He's like,
hey, what's your head?
He's like, hey, I bet you're wondering why we're in elf costumes. Yeah, they told us.
No, not really.
Let me just cut you off there. We don't care.
We don't care. We got our cake. Go away.
And then
bye, guys.
That labored kind of just painstaking kind of line delivery by Stretch. He's like, hey, maybe we could get your numbers. It's just.
Yeah. The one's like, oh, you guys are so adorable. It's like, yeah.
Okay. I just like that they couldn't find the address and they're walking up and down the street there.
Yeah.
I love that the New Yorkers aren't even fazed. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. You know what? One thing I got to think, Cake Boss, they gave us some Stretch, huh? Huh? Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Hey, are you guys wondering this, though? Where's Buddy's assistant?
Oh, Tom?
Yeah, what happened to Tom? He's in one episode, and he's gone.
He's been very, very busy.
Oh, yeah, he's busy in the back.
He's writing the scripts.
That's what it is.
He's the one that comes up with the jokes.
He's scripting the show.
You gotta love Cake Boss. It's a great show, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh. It's
gotta find a drag queen for next show.
No, it's Gnat. Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back and talk about Dollhouse. I'm extremely excited about this. Awesome.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, I can't wait.
Can you say Oshkosh Bagosh?
I want him to.
Oh, okay, sure.
Did you say that? Say Oshkosh Bagosh. No. I reach out to Oshkosh Bagosh. Oshkosh.
Oshkosh Bagosh! Oshkosh Bagosh! Oshkosh Bagosh, kids' clothes as tough as our name.
Oshkosh Bagosh!
I feel like I want to be a demon. Look at the smile on my lips. I've got that M&M's feeling right at my fingertips. So carefree, make it any plan. Melt chocolate, melts in your mouth. Not in your hand, you wanna grab on to that M&M's feeling.
What can they leave for Santa?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That's great!
We sprinkle cinnamon and sugar for a homemade taste. Part of this complete breakfast.
Happy Holidays from Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Santa Bear Express!
It's Santa Bear, Miss Bear, and their airplane. You can win all three. Look for a winning card in specially marked boxes of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Or to enter free, write box 5464, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We won!
On the Disney Sunday Movie.
He's a solid 17-year-old, state-of-the-art, all-American boy.
A scientist has just come up with his greatest invention.
Hi, Dad.
Alan Thicke creates the ultimate kid, but he's not quite human someday.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words, and look what you did. And look at the world of savings at Toys R Us this Christmas. From Worlds of Wonder, it's laser tag. Fire the laser tag starlight and send an infrared beam of light to the laser tag star sensor.
Swell!
Also comes with a star belt, all for only $44.99. Get additional star sensors and other laser tag gear from Worlds of Wonder at Toys R Us.
It's the world's biggest Toys R Us!
Go!
Hey, guys, shouldn't be giving me a hard time. I mean, I may not be so big now,
but I'm drinking milk. Because in these years, I'm growing faster than I ever will again. And I need milk's calcium for bones.
And protein for muscle, more now than I ever did as a kid. In fact,
this is how I'm going to look when I'm 19. I don't forget a name or a face. I'll probably have forgiven you guys by then.
But you never can tell.
Milk, it does a body good.
Ooh, something for Santa.
Look what I brought you, Santa. Holiday chocolate.
Oh, they're red and green. Mmm.
Mom brought them home for the family.
That's Santa bag for you.
Holiday's chocolates. Delicious milk chocolate in red and green shells.
Now about my list.
There's nothing like Holiday's for your holidays from the makers of M&M's chocolate candies.
Moi.
I'd like a bike, I'd like a pony, but what I love is my first dummy.
I like pizza pie,
I like macaroni, but what I love is my first
dummy. Now Sony makes small products for small people. Walkie-talkies, Walkman stereos, and cassette recorders. Specially made for kids.
I like yodis.
Hello, my name is Crispy. How do you do? Crispy Critter Cereals entirely new. It's indubitably.
Indubitably.
Delicious. Oh, here comes Crispy Critters. A good wholesome bunch. The low-sugar cereal with lots of crunch.
Yes, it's indubitably.
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 Indubitably. Indubitably.
Delicious. Most Crispy Critter Cereal is part of a balanced breakfast.
Cha-cha-cha.
Watch! For six, a Merry Christmas.
Mary, I...
Yes, John?
I've been looking for a Christmas gift to tell you how much I love you.
Oh, John.
The limelight. A genuine swatch with genuine diamonds. For him, for her.
Oh, John, it's lovely.
The swatch way to say I love you this Christmas. It's a special limited edition. Get one now. Limelight by Swatch. Get one at Higbee.
After a day of battling on the front lines, the last thing you need is kitchen duty. So tonight on your way home, stop off at Pizza Hut and pick up a hot, delicious Pizza Hut pan pizza to go.
I wish that I could be a star in the sky
and a STEM toy for everybody to be nice and be friends. Fight each other.
May all your wishes come true. Season's greetings from your local bottler of Coca-Cola.
This holiday season, get the lemon lime soft drink with real juice. Get slice.
We got the juice, a burst of cheer. We got the taste for the time of year.
Real juice.
We got the juice, it's going fast. We're stocking up to make it last. We got the juice.
Happy holidays.
Twas the night before Christmas, and there in the house, the kitten discovered the new Commodore's mouse. Now touch the mouse to do what you choose. The mouse makes the Commodore simpler to use. Educate. Entertain. Put thoughts together. The world's best-selling family computer just got better. So bring home the new Commodore 64 now. A Commodore Christmas to all. And to all...
What will the future bring from Nintendo? More hits like Super Mario Brothers. Arcade hits like Kung Fu. Nintendo has the most video game hits. Hogan's Alley, Duck Hunt, and more like Baseball and Excitebike. And you can play them only on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
Oh, 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 oh!
That's something I don't want to hear about. All right, guys, let's talk about Dollhouse. It was a two-hour episode, and it was I found it to be very entertaining.
Yeah, same here.
It's all about the senator who wants to bring down the Dollhouse, or namely the Rossum Corporation. And, of course, you know, they always have the scenes with Echo where she's just saying ridiculous dialogue or whatever, and it just makes you wince at how bad it is. But there was it was kind of cool, like, you didn't know. They made you think the senator's wife was a doll, and she was kind of influencing him or whatever. But then you find out it's actually the senator, which was I thought was pretty neat. But, I mean, it was entertaining. They had Topher. He goes to visit Summer Glau, who's like that Dollhouse's Topher. I guess that's a good way to explain it. And, you know, she's like his dream girl, I guess, because she's into all the shit he is. And, you know, Bill, you and I were talking about how Joss Whedon loves for women to babble incoherently on his show.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, they're trying to show us, like, oh, she's quirky, you know, she's got a bad arm, and she's just kind of mumbling to herself, but I didn't understand what the hell she was talking about. Like,
no, she's insane.
When Topher shows up, and then they're kind of playing off each other, I thought that was a lot funnier, how they're kind of, like, so goofy, and even when they're both trying to explain stuff to the main chick and... the other guy, damn. Oh, the actor, Leland Palmer. What's that guy's name? The devil Reaper. He's always great. And they had, you know, scenes where they interacted. I thought that was good stuff. But there was this one scene where the senator, he gets drugged and he wakes up with a high-priced call girl, right? And it's Echo. Ooh. And I thought this scene was ripe for the pickings.
Yeah, it was bad, but she looked great.
Let's check it out. You know what I'm saying?
Very excited.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Wake up, Mr. Senator. I want to make sure I get your good side. Hi. Trust me, you've got nothing to be embarrassed about.
Who the hell are you?
Oh, you forgot me already? I'm Hurt. I'm Bree.
I don't know you. I've never seen you in my life.
I hate to disagree with you, Senator, but you've seen all of me. I can show you the instant replay if you'd like.
I would have said, okay, rewind. I'm gonna see this shit.
You had to have drugged me.
Should we order some champagne? I think we should order some champagne. We'll just bill it to the taxpayers, right?
Stop it.
Shut up. I have to think.
Fine, Testy. I'll leave then.
Huh?
Okay. I sent the really good stuff to my employers before you woke up. I just stuck around because I've got a message for you first.
Rossum sent you.
I just go where I'm told. I don't get names. The message is... back off. Okay, so thanks for the fun times. I'll get out of your hair. Oh, nice. I like you a little rough. Just don't touch the face.
My God.
Or I could tie you up.
It's amazing. So real.
Duh.
You're a doll.
Thanks, you're cute too.
Yeah.
Rossum, never risk hiring a call girl.
Sure looks good on paper.
Not when they can program someone instead, whose memory they can erase when they're done.
Who are you talking
to? Wow. They didn't tell me you were extra crazy. I typically charge more for that.
You're a doll. You're not real.
Dude, maybe you should take a nap. Sleep this off.
We're leaving.
Where are we going?
To see my wife.
You're twisted. I like that a lot. Threesomes are extra, but I might give you a freebie, Senator.
It's just so bad.
Yeah.
But that's entertaining. Hey.
That's unriffable there.
It's just kind of like stunned silence. It's just like, oh, wow.
Come to mama.
Yeah.
Now, if Miss Richfield was there, that would have been just terrific.
Miss Richfield's a doll. Oh, my God.
I'm a doll.
I like that. My God, you're a doll. Hey, thanks. You're not so bad yourself.
Yeah, maybe it would have been better than, see here, you're a doll.
Dude, maybe you should take a nap.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to go lay down. Oh, but seriously, you wake up with Eliza Dushku in your bed. She's like, I can roll back the tape if you want to see what we did. I'd be like, you know, okay, yeah. I just want to see it once. And then, you know.
Yeah, and then maybe twice. Could, and then.
Let me keep
maybe
that.
Maybe we could reenact what we see.
I want to see if something really happened, you know.
Let's see if we can improve that acting of yours the next time.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, I can see why Dollhouse hasn't caught on with the big ratings, you know?
Yeah, because it's painful. Duh.
But also, it's like got character where I wanted to stay around and just watch it, you know? Like, I'm excited to watch the next episode. Alpha's back, you know? They've got Alpha, and we're going to see more about the Rossum Corporation. And hopefully, you know, since Joss Whedon knows that the series probably wasn't going to make it one more season, that they at least have an ending. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, people could have the awesome collector's Blu-ray.
I really need closure. The awesome collector's.
Yeah, wouldn't you like that, Steven, huh? That'd be pretty awesome. Hey, Steven.
Are you the man? Get over here.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Guys, let's talk about Friday Night Lights, huh? You know, this wasn't really that kind of episode where I'd be like, woo-hoo! You know, it had some funny parts, but, you know, one thing that was funny at the beginning when they're playing this undefeated team, and that one guy's like, you know, they're talking to the reporters, which I think is funny, by the way. This is high school football, but in Dillon, the reporters come to talk to you. Does that really happen in places?
I imagine, out there.
But here's a funny scene where they're talking to Coach Taylor, and he's got I don't remember the guy's name. It's the guy who works at Sears.
Vance,
is that his name?
I think that's it.
And then they kind of talk to the other.
No, Vance is the kid,
right? But the coach guy from Sears. That's the only way I can describe him. But they're talking to also the players after this. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey Mike, how are you?
Coach, what are your goals going into this game?
Goals going into the game? Well, we'd like to stop their offense, put a few holes in their defense.
How do you intend to measure your success in doing that?
Well, we're going to use the scoreboard to measure that success.
What do you hope to accomplish there? I mean, what do you want the score to reflect?
I would like the score to reflect that we left everything on the field that we have.
So are you saying you can win this game, Coach?
Well, what I'm saying is that
we can win. We will win.
Are you guaranteeing a victory?
I am guaranteeing a victory.
Let's go out here.
We got more practice, okay?
Good. Let's do it.
Get these fine young men out here who are going to be putting their blood on the field.
How are you going to play this Friday night?
We've been through the storm. We've been through the rain. Now we're going to bring the pain.
Well, Emily, I think, you know, I scored a perfect score on my math portion of the SAT. So, you know, if the pressure's on, I think I'm the guy to go to. Emily?
Do you have anything more to say about that guaranteed win?
Well, I'm more the brains. And Braun. You know, I got it all. I'm a total package, baby.
Are you going to win? Coach, can we talk about your history of quitting first with the Panthers back in 06 and more recently forfeiting your first game as head coach of the Lions?
Why don't you come out here and waste people's time with us?
You know, I love the part when they're watching the tape, they're watching game footage in the Sears, and then JD and the other guys come around, and then that guy throws them out of the store. I thought that was great. So like, get the hell out of the store. But then I was like, his dad's going to get him fired, isn't he? That's what I started thinking. But we'll see something about that later. But, you know, this is mainly about Julie and Matt and kind of like Matt saying goodbye. There's this whole thing where they're supposed to go to Austin to see some bands. And, you know, her mom doesn't want her to go, but she wants to do it for Matt. So I have this little scene here that maybe we'll check out. Why not? Huh, Steven?
Mm-hmm. We'll see you later. All right, buddy. Take it easy, y'all. Bye.
Hey, Landry.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you over here.
I know. Well, you know, I had to drop off something for Coach, rushing off to my school.
Right.
Hey, have you talked to Matt and Jules since they've gone off on their big trip to Austin?
No, not since they left.
Yeah. What? Listen, I'm just going to be real straightforward with you, Landry. My daughter's AWOL, and I'm sick about it, and if you could shed any light on where they are and when they're going to be there, anything like that, it would just be real, real helpful to me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know their whole schedule. I think they were planning on seeing the Heartless Bastards at Emo's tomorrow night.
Okay, that's
7:30 or 8 or something. But other than that, I don't
know. Uh-huh. And you know where they're staying or anything like that? Or
are you going? Are you going to go?
No.
Is it?
No, but I just, I'm a mother. All right, well, I'll have to get over to my school now, but
okay, well, it's
nice to see you.
It's good to see you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello? Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Yeah, no, it's good. We saw Ham yesterday, and we're about to go see the Heartless Bastards tonight.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Just a kind of a FYI.
Those guys.
Miss Taylor kind of cornered me at school yesterday and started drilling me with all these questions about where you and Julie might be.
A what?
And I kind of panicked and told her that y'all were going to the Heartless Bastards tonight. Which now, thinking back, I might not should have done. Just wanted to give you the heads up. It's probably fine.
Wait a minute, she doesn't know?
I'm sure she's not going to come.
No, I didn't. I should, though.
It's rocking.
But I just want to let you know. So there it is.
So she doesn't know that she's in Austin with me?
Oh, great. Well, I think I'm going to go because I just let another cat out of the bag.
I guess I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks.
Is that
ready? You lied to your parents?
I didn't lie to my parents, Matt.
Okay, well, because that was Landry, and he said that your mom was interrogating Landry about where you were.
Yeah, well, I told them I was going to be in Austin. I left them a message.
Oh, you left them a message that you were in Austin. That's good.
Look, you're blowing it out of proportion. It's, Matt, it's really, it's not that big of a deal,
it is a big deal, because you know what? I actually care what your parents think about me. I really don't want them to hate me, which is what's going to happen if they think that I just ran away to Austin with you.
I told them where I was going to be, and I'm sorry. I did this whole thing to make you happy, okay? I bought the music festival tickets so you could get out of Dylan, because I know how much you hate Dylan.
I don't hate Dylan. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, you hate Dylan. You only stay there because of me, and maybe for once I don't want the responsibility of you having to stay in Dylan.
Look, I'm sorry, okay? I didn't mean to freak out. So let's just go see this concert, all right?
I'm sorry, too. I didn't mean to yell.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
You know what I like? They also, he kind of in passing says that his grandmother is going to get $100,000 because of his dad dying, so she'll be taken care of. And then they have that scene at the end with his mom and grandmother talking about getting a new TV. And he kind of just looking at it through the window where, you know, his mom will be able to take care of her, where he'll be free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it'll be good for him if he was a real person, you know, to get the hell out of there for a while.
If he was a real person.
But, I mean, what I was thinking as he was driving away, I was like, good for him. He's free. He's had nothing but responsibility, like, his whole life.
I even liked the little conversation at the beginning with him and Landry when they were throwing the football. You know, he was looking to pick a fight, and Landry was like, dude, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight you.
He's like, are you trying to get me mad, or do you want to have a fight with me or something? I don't understand. I can't talk to you. Yeah, and what do you think, his character will go to Chicago or something?
No, I think he's just taking a drive. He's going somewhere. I don't think he's going to disappear yet.
That can't be the end for his character, I would hope.
No, it's not.
Because, I mean, we haven't... what about the guy he's interning for?
that just disappeared. Dude.
Whatever happened to that guy? But this was also the return of Lila, right? And I was thinking it was kind of a short little visit where she just sees that, you know, she misses Tim, but she also sees that Tim's not going anywhere, is he?
Yeah.
She's like, what do you want from life? He's like, you. But what other than just me? You. It's like, I don't really want anything. Yeah,
he just wants a simple life, living in this little town.
And I don't think she wants that, but...
no.
As she leaves, I'm like, that can't
he
be
really
her
has, yeah, he has no ambition.
But, I mean, that can't be her character send-off, can it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is.
Wow.
I think it's final.
Maybe she'll come back when Christmas time, something like that.
Someone else dies.
Yeah, but I really love the football scenes this season. You know, they've been really cool with a lot of emotion. They're trying to play this, beat this team.
Well, when Tim and his brother were dressed, were suited up.
That was great when they dressed to practice.
That was a lot of fun. But did you guys see
scenes? Dude, those guys are fast.
Yeah. This isn't hardly fair. Did you guys see scenes the next week yet? Or I don't know if you guys bothered watching them.
Yeah, I did.
I did watch.
Where that cornrow guy is talking to Tim's brother. And he's like,
That's a business
opportunity.
I really don't like that guy.
Can that kid please get locked up or something?
Yeah, or shot and killed, something.
That'd be the best thing for everybody. Oh!
But yeah, because whatever they're off to go do is, like, I guess his wife's water breaks.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's one thing to steal gigantic spools of copper.
Yeah.
It's another thing entirely to steal cars and chop them.
I like that scene with the girl with Tim, and she's like, was she the love of your life? And he's like, just sitting there like, I don't want to, he doesn't want to talk. And she's sitting there.
He said, shut up, please.
Hey, could you just shut up, please? Okay. But that was good stuff. But, Friday Night Lights, good bittersweet episode, kind of sad and that stuff. But that's what we get from Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Now, I thought it was a very most excellent Fringe. So let's talk about the Fringe. Did you get to see it, Steven?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Didn't you think it was pretty cool?
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, too. That's what I love is when things kind of crazy happens in the beginning and you try to put the pieces together, then find out what's going on, and then, the chase starts or whatever. And here's a nice little clip here. Let's check it out. Where, let me set it up a little bit better than that, where these people who seem to have had mental problems, schizophrenic, what have you, crazy, guy who keeps saying the same things over and over again.
Bipolar.
They're institutionalized.
Whatever they are, yeah.
Somebody has operated them on them, and now they're normal, which is pretty cool. So it's kind of a tie in there with Walter, how he's trying to get his sanity back. So let's check this out.
I can see from your chart that you've been through this procedure before. Several times, in fact.
This is not a good idea, Pete.
You know what? I still didn't set up this clip very well. Because what it turns out is these people have been all operated on the same doctor, and it turns out that Walter has several visitations from this doctor, so now they're giving him a CAT scan. I think I've sufficiently set it up now. What do you guys think?
I think that's right on. There you go.
I can see from your chart that you've been through this procedure before. Several times, in fact.
This is not a good idea, Pete. These MRI machines have magnets that rip the metal out of the patients. And I have that tracking chip implanted in my neck. The GPS locator.
I have absolutely nothing to worry about. Because it's made out of silicone. And you know as well as I do that it won't be affected by the machine. Maybe some Valium would help.
Oh, I don't do Valium nearly enough. It's a good idea. I'll have 50 milligrams, please.
Well, that's quite a high dosage.
I have quite a high tolerance.
Thank you. You're going to be fine. It's a routine procedure. And the Valium will take care of any claustrophobia you might be feeling.
Not worried about claustrophobia, Peter. What do you think that man did to me?
I don't know, Walter.
It must be Paris. He must have removed pieces of Walter's brain, but why? And why preserve them?
Memory. The hippocampus, memory storage. Bell told you that Newton wants to open the door to the other side, right? Well, we already know that Walter's done that. He just can't remember how. That is why he can't remember. He literally had the memories removed.
No way. So then how does Newton read them?
In theory, he shouldn't be able to, but in theory, he should still be a frozen head. So, in the department of how to make impossible things possible, what would he need to do? He would need to implant the memories into a brain that could interpret them.
Walter.
Did you guys like that when Walter gets his memory back for that short time, his personality change?
He kind of Yeah, that was scary.
He kind of seemed like a real jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he seemed like an evil genius.
Yeah, he's kind of an evil mad scientist doctor or something. But what's cool is the guy's trying to get his memories to find out how to open this door from where he comes from, right? And then at the very end, you realize that the doctor who took his memories out was William Bell.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to put it where no one can find it. And so basically what Walter did is he opened up this door to get a new son because Peter died. We figured that much out. And he brought Peter over into our world. So somehow made a deal with the Observer where he wouldn't get in trouble for it or try to write it or take him back. And somehow people know. And this guy who's from an alternate universe or whatever, he says it's really bad where he's from. So I guess that's why they want to come over, because it sucks where they're from. Some bad things have happened. Maybe the world is in a state where they can't fix it, the environment or something. I don't
know. Wasn't there a comment of something about how the trees died long ago there? Like,
yeah.
So it's almost maybe like there was some sort of Holocaust.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if pulling Peter away had something to do. You know, it's like pulling a piece out of their world.
I wonder how that's kind of collapsing
their world.
But I don't know, because they can leave too. I don't know.
Yeah. If they go back.
Right. I don't know. But
well, they don't want to go back. What they want to do is merge the worlds.
Right.
In essence, destroy their world or our world to fix their world.
You know what I thought was cool is when Olivia chases them out. Did you notice what a crack shot she was? She shoots a guy in the head from the window. Then the dude pops out and she shoots him right in the forehead. Nice shooting, Tex, huh?
She played a lot of light gun games for Nintendo as a kid.
Nice.
I like that she aimed straight for the noggin, too.
Yeah, because remember those guys can take several hits, too, so she aimed in the right spot. I guess she learned that from Charlie, remember? But she has to make the deal with the guy who, Walter's been poisoned. And he's like, I'll tell you how to cure him if you just let me go or whatever. I don't know. It was a good episode. It was really cool. And I have no idea when Fringe is coming back. Is it going to be a while?
Yeah, there wasn't even any preview. So I was like, damn.
It's like, it's not coming back. I love all that stuff and how it, the very end of the episode has William Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, because it just gets you start thinking about all the things that are going on in the overall story.
If he took those pieces out and hid them in those people, how did the guy know which people to go to?
That's a good question, because remember when he calls Olivia there, he tells her that this guy has found a way to do that. And they must, first he said they mustn't find his head or whatever, his frozen head. And by the way, Bill, did you notice what I was saying is the guy looks like Gordon Ramsay, I thought?
Oh, totally, yeah. I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
The bad guy
and
is
the guy,
Gordon
yeah,
Ramsay.
He does look a lot like Gordon Ramsay.
If he just had that blonde kind of hair, it's like, holy shit, evil chef.
And maybe a couple scars and a little more wrinkle.
Yeah, he looks like he's gotten in some fights or whatever. But
I'm thinking maybe that guy was like an assistant to William Bell at one point and maybe rebelled and is now looking to pull the worlds together.
But it's got to be a different one, right? I mean, because you know, remember they show William Bell in the place where the World Trade Center is still standing? This guy mm-hmm. doesn't come from there. He comes from another place, don't you think?
Yeah, because there's multiple dimensions. Yeah.
Very cool. I mean, it just has you thinking a lot about all that stuff. But, guys, let's talk about the season finale of Top Chef, huh? You've got...
Boy, wasn't this kind of non-eventful?
I mean, the main thing... You know, I actually thought it was kind of cruel to have the moms sit there while they judge their food, didn't you? Yeah.
Well, wasn't it for only one dish, though?
Yeah, it was for one dish. If it would have been all of them, I would have been like, this is just sucks.
Yeah,
this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Padma's even like, which one was your favorite to Brian and Michael's mom?
Yeah, so it's like you have to be nice to the other one. You can't just, and plus, yeah, the two brothers That didn't work for me at all.
I honestly didn't think that Kevin had a shot at winning because I really feel like in the back of their minds, they wanted one of the brothers to win. It was just best for the show. Now, if they would have really sucked and he would have gone, you know, made something great, they wouldn't have a choice. But I really think they wanted one of the brothers to win. And honestly, Michael, they made excuses for him at the judges' table. If you notice, they said, well, you know, he did mess up on the cake and it was dry, but, you know, if it would have been good, a lot of flavors there, that would have been fantastic. And, you know, I think Brian really did kind of screw himself by under flavoring things. Isn't that what they said?
Yeah.
Some under seasoning.
Like
under seasoning. He didn't salt or pepper properly.
One of his meals was excellent. That was really good with a lot of flavor. They just wish he would have done the rest. But I didn't feel like anything Michael did was overall blew him away, except that one explosion in Toby's mouth of tomato or whatever.
Did they kick that one woman off because hers was undersalted or oversalted?
Oh, how exciting! Oh, I can't wait!
They kicked one of them off because it was like...
Yeah, they kicked Jennifer off because she used that flake salt and it was oversalted.
It wasn't Brian...
But otherwise, they had no problem with any of her dishes.
Right, and then Kevin, he had a tough mushroom, but the meal was delicious except for the mushroom. I just really thought they didn't want Kevin to win no matter what.
Yeah.
And this is why... I made a clip here of why I think that Michael won. And it came down to when they said, why do you want to be Top Chef? I think they liked Michael's answer better than all of them. Let's check it out.
I'd like to hear from each one of you, starting with Brian, why you think you deserve to be Top Chef.
There has been a lot of dishes that showed a lot about my style and a lot about what I believe food is. And I felt like I expressed my cuisine. And, you know, for me, that's what means the most to me. And I hope that that's good enough to win.
Michael?
I just don't want Brian to be Top Chef.
Good answer.
You know, food is, it's me. It's how I express myself. It's my emotion is in it. And I didn't get good grades in high school. I cooked after school, and that's I've never gotten a paycheck for anything else. Like, this is all I've ever done in my whole life. It's all I know how to do. It's all I'll ever do. I love what I do.
Kevin, same question.
I love food. I love that it has this ability to comfort people and bring people together. I put a lot of really great food out, and I think that I cook, hopefully, food that's soulful and speaks to the person that I am.
Thank you. That'll be all for right now.
Hopefully you're not related to Michael or Brian.
Yeah.
So we're gonna
that would have helped.
I think it's cool that they go, Kevin, you are not Top Chef. Do you really have to do it like that? Just call the winner, okay? Don't send him out of the room. And yeah, you know, when they name Michael Top Chef and his mom comes there, et cetera, but the way they did that to Kevin, I thought was kind of dickheaded.
Yeah, it was.
But what is that that kind of cooking Olympic competition thing?
The Boku d'Or.
The Boku d'Or, because it said that Kevin, he's a finalist to make it on the team. Is that what it is?
No, he's on the team.
He's on the team, and they're finalists in some kind of competition, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing good. You know, out of all three of them, his food I would really like to eat.
Well, I think he has the most unpretentious food.
Right. It's
like
all
they just, they seem, I don't know. The whole Michael thing winning was, it left a bad taste in my mouth.
I got to be honest with you. I thought Brian was a lock because it just.
Yeah, so did I.
It didn't seem like, it seemed like Michael underwhelmed them with this food. But when he says why he wants to, food is all I'm about. It's all I know how to do. It's the only thing I've ever been paid to do. It's my life or whatever. They're like, this guy is Top Chef. We're looking at him right here. You know,
I think what annoys me the most about that is even Michael admitted in the beginning of the season that he got into it because of his brother. Like, he wanted to be better than his brother
His
brother wanted to do.
Say something so dickheaded about your brother, I just don't want my brother to win. But then, as soon as he wins, he's like, I really wish both of us could have won. It's like...
Oh, yeah, right.
That doesn't really go with what you said a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude.
You know, maybe it was the editing. Face. I don't, you know, who am I to judge? But the guy just comes across as a real tool.
Yeah, he does.
I have some very exciting news for you.
Oh, what is it, Miss Richfield? Are you getting your own show on Bravo?
Goodbye!
No, oh, okay.
He's going to be appearing on Launch My Line.
Oh, my word!
God, that looks so bad. Just a bunch of gays getting mad at each other on Launch My Line.
Only had to have something replace
Project
Runway.
I know, it's like their sad, pathetic attempt to match that show. I don't know. Nah, shut up.
Yeah, the voiceovers on Bravo are so bad.
Only on Bravo. Bill, you ready to do some news, huh?
Let's do it.
Let's do the news! All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, let's get the extremely creepy story out of the way first. An Edinburgh man has admitted to filming himself having sex with his pet dog.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
John Kerr, 30, appeared from custody at Edinburgh Sheriff Court yesterday, where he admitted taking the mobile phone footage as he sexually abused his Staffordshire Terrier.
That's some sick shit, yo.
Yeah. What's crazy is that the way it was found was that he had left his phone behind at a friend's house, and when they were looking to see whose phone it was, they found two clips of him, diddling his doggy.
Oh, my God. What position is it?
I would have to assume it had something to do with the doggy style.
Certain style?
I think the dog was maybe in that style for him.
That is some sick shit, man. Wow.
The court heard the dog was taken away on Monday to be examined by a vet, but appeared not to have been injured. Well, that's good. It was just mentally scarred.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
This guy said he told police that those clips were the only occasions in which he had an unnatural connection with the dog.
Come on, no.
Oh, well, yeah, well,
something tells me that's a lie.
So this is the first time you felt compelled to have sex with a dog, and it's like, you know what? I need to mark this occasion. I need to record.
This is truly an important connection between us.
No, it's not.
A chemistry student has reportedly been killed by what is believed to be exploding chewing gum.
Holy shit.
Russian news agency RIA Novosti reports the 25-year-old chemistry student was found dead with his jaw blown off after he was working on a computer at his parents' home.
Oh my God.
A loud pop was heard from the student's room. When his relatives entered the room, they saw the lower part of the young man's face had been blown off.
Whoa.
The man was studying at Ukraine's Kiev Polytechnic Institute and was known for his habit of dipping chewing gum in citric acid. Reports police found both citric acid packets and some kind of explosive material on the table in his parents' room. They believed he may have used packets.
What is it? Dipping the citric acid packet? What is that?
Yeah.
Citric acid was like what you get out of like an orange, you know, any
kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the stuff that they coat like sour candy in.
Oh,
Whoa, that's crazy. So that exploded?
No, he had...
Something else exploded.
Yeah, he had some other kind of material that was explosive, and he confused the two and dipped the gum into the explosive material rather than the citric acid.
Scary.
So he had some nitroglycerin there on the table?
Yeah, like chewing that up. Mm. Boom.
Delicious nitroglycerin.
Oh, my head.
I imagine it's something that reacts awful with water.
Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Police say a 13-year-old girl driving a 1994 Pontiac Grand Am led state troopers on a 9-mile freeway chase in central Pennsylvania at speeds more than 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
That's awesome. Authorities say the pursuit started around 9:30 a.m. Monday when troopers saw a driver weaving in and out of her lane. The police say the driver wouldn't stop when they tried to pull her over, but the girl finally stopped the muscle car on an... Wait a second. A 1994 Pontiac Grand Am is a muscle car?
Hidden deadly hazard.
Wow.
Complete disaster.
Troopers say the girl was taken into custody and charged with several violations. Her name was not released.
The cops have had enough.
Police... I love that guy.
But no one saw this coming.
When I hear him, I miss Jesse James' show.
I do too. I miss it. I miss us being able to talk about that. Shit, awesome.
So the police have no idea where the girl got the car.
Wow, what right kind now. Of engine does that thing have?
800 horsepower.
Whoa! that's a friggin' engine in that shit.
That is really a muscle is. Car.
I had no idea that 1994 Pontiac Grand Ams came with that stock.
Well, you got to be really careful driving that car because of the AC unit. Have you heard about that?
Freezing no. the outer layers of his skin.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, my.
It's like it's just such a good air conditioner. It could freeze your skin.
It must have like a full tank of Freon.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Suddenly, the chase turns all too real.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Good times.
All right. An angry parent in Gary, Indiana attacked a fourth grade teacher with a stapler at school while students watched.
Nice. I'm not buying that crap anymore.
Police arrested the woman shortly after the attack. Gary Community School Corporation spokeswoman said the woman entered the school from an unlocked door. They said the woman, who's expected to face assault charges, was upset over the teacher's disciplinary tactics with her child. They said the teacher was treated for head wounds at a local hospital from a stapler. Head wounds? Really?
Whoa. That must have been a lot of staples in there.
Yeah, maybe it was like an industrial staple gun.
It's one of those big metal ones that staples multiple layers of paper, you know?
There you go. In Boston, three little bears are hauling Goldilocks to court on breaking and entering as well as vandalism charges. This guy's name is Gold E. Locks. Yeah.
Gold
as
E?
Gold E is his middle initial and Locks is his last name.
Holy crap.
And get this. He broke into... a family's home, the last name Bear.
Oh, how exciting! Oh, I can't wait!
Is this just a coincidence or done on purpose? It just seems
oh, my
a little.
Word.
So, with some writer somewhere was like, I just got the story of a lifetime.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I was just going to leave it at that. Wow.
Wow.
You need to check multiple bears' residents to see if they've been broken into by the same guy.
No, actually, this is just... It's. I don't even know why Associated Press reported on it. I guess they thought it would be funny. But it's a Northeastern University law school thing where they're having 60 Girl Scouts as the jury. So they're going to take this out as a case, like that Goldilocks broke into the bear family home, vandalized it, ate its porridge.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's just, I don't, it's honestly a waste of time in my...
Yeah, why would they even report that? Or
yeah, well, you know what, some idiot at the Associated Press thought, oh, this is just too good to pass up.
Oh, this, my
this
gosh.
Is hilarious.
Wow, good times.
Yeah. In Portage, Indiana, authorities say they caught an Indiana man riding a bike while balancing a stolen Christmas tree across the handlebars.
And these little children, they fast, boy.
Police in Portage say they spotted a 48-year-old Philip Minifee about 1 a.m. Friday riding the bike equipped with a homemade motor but no lights.
What? Homemade motor?
He had a homemade moped?
Wow, that dude's talented.
That's awesome.
Dude, that
police that have been investigating motor noise near a Christmas tree lot. Police say Menifee had been driving at a bar, or drinking at a bar, and told police he thought the tree from the lot, which is run by a tree farm of Greenville, Michigan, when told the lot was closed, police say he bought it from the bar. Yeah, right. Police arrested Menifee for theft and public intoxication. The $40 tree, which was marked with a tag, was returned. Oh, good. I'm glad the tree is going to find a good home.
Yeah, that's really good. But...
That's honestly kind of sad when you don't have the money for a Christmas tree, so you steal one. I guess maybe you spent it all at the bar.
Couldn't you just go chop a tree down somewhere?
Yeah, why not? I don't see it. Yeah.
Good.
Now, this is genius. I wonder how many people have actually thought to do this that have been in a police chase. But in Mount Clemens, Michigan, a man leading police on a chase through Macomb County called 911 to report a fake crime in an attempt to divert police. I mean, come on, that's smart.
Nice.
I don't know how many police are going to go, oh, no, we're just going to have to call off this chase and get to this crime immediately, but still.
The cops have had enough.
I'm glad those clips are getting good use this week. I love this.
A Browning M2 50 caliber machine gun.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
That's what the guy called in.
That's how they need to stop more police chases. Macomb County Sheriff Mark Hackles said a report of a man stealing liquor from the Meijer store was made about 6:15 p.m. Hackles said a traffic deputy spotted the suspect in a stolen Ford F-150 leaving the store, and a chase gave way.
Oh, my God. How fast do those trucks go?
Ford F-150. Oh, jeez. I keep answering the questions. I feel like such an idiot. Hackle said deputies from his office and the Oakland County Sheriff's Office pursued the suspect through several cities. The
Holy
suspect
shit.
Called 911 while going through Sterling Heights in an attempt to throw officers off the chase.
Wow, the guy's... I guess he had a Bluetooth, so it was safe, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that would be another charge.
Complete disaster.
It's not often that we have a bad guy who's trying to run away from the police who's now trying to call the police and distract them. this guy was not back in society to try to be a productive member of society. He's definitely going to try to wreak havoc. Oh, no.
He calls the
havoc
police station as the cop's wife. Yeah, this is Officer So-and-so's wife. He's on the phone. Tell him I'm in labor.
I'm having a baby,
yeah,
but maybe
what?
I'm pregnant. I am now.
I'd be like, there's armed guys just running into the bank.
Yeah. The local bank's being held up. We need you
they're
quick.
They're masked. One looks like Robert De Niro. I think they're heavily armed.
Holy shit, Tom Sizemore's here. Get here quick. It's like, shit.
He's
going to
do drugs.
Oh, how exciting. Oh, I can't wait.
And last story, some person in Big Spring, Texas, adorned his front lawn with a Michelangelo's David statue and dressed it up as Santa Claus.
Nice.
Barry McBee, says he was aiming to make people chuckle by adding a Santa hat and white beard to the 5-foot-tall replica of the Renaissance statue. Then parents started calling city officials saying their children were asking why Santa was naked.
Oh, my word!
Oh, my! the city said the statue did not violate any town ordinances, and there are no obscenities issues, but an official left McBee a voicemail last week requesting that he put more clothes on David.
Oh,
oh, that's too bad.
If your kid says, why is Santa naked? Your answer is, because he doesn't have any clothes on.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard.
Question and answer.
Duh.
Well, first of all, that's not Santa.
Yeah.
That's actually David.
I like when people use that excuse. Well, what am I supposed to tell my kids? You can't figure that out. Maybe you shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Friggin' it's like, moron. How did you have kids to begin with?
I'm not buying that crap anymore.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I'm extremely excited about the DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVD!
Woo! The DVDs, everybody! what's so funny?
They just really enjoy it.
Steven, you okay?
I'm good.
You sound like you're from London.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, December 15th, 2009. Starting with Cake Boss!
Hey! The Cake Boss! What the hell?
Oh, how exciting! Oh, I can't wait!
Season 1, 13 action-packed episodes. You'll discover that nothing is impossible.
13 episodes? Buddies. 13 episodes? Does that include these episodes we've been talking about?
No. We're in Season 2 now.
Wow. It didn't seem like there was that many episodes, but I guess they show them back-to-back, like... A lot of times, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do. This one, a roulette table, a zombie, a prehistoric mammal, a leaning tower of Pisa, and a tiki cake that spits fire.
Oh, yeah, this is exciting cakes. I've really got to check this out, man.
Yeah, deadlines, client demands, and the pressure of working with family creates an obstacle course of unfailing drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I didn't know about the show, I'd be sold on this.
Oh, yeah. It's quite the description.
You got
I think my favorite, cake was the firehouse cake.
That was like the first episode. It was like the shittiest cake. You know?
Yeah, it was so nasty.
It was horrible.
Yeah, you're right, buddy. It was horrible.
What?
And bonus features on here is the ultimate cake-off. Deleted scenes and Mary's moments. Mary sends an email and ugly cakes.
Nice. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm going to rent that right away. I'll pass. Or maybe the two guys go to catch pigeons. That's great. All right, moving on. Don't tell Mom the babysitter's dead.
I don't think it's funny.
Awesome flick, man.
No, it's really not. But I think what's great is the cover has a quote from Jeff Craig of 60 Second Preview. It's Home Alone times 5. Like, oh.
You know what? That I've seen Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and I remember laughing at it, you know? You know?
Yeah, I just remember she gets a job... At a design place, a clothing design,
right?
And it's really, really dated.
And remember, her brother becomes like he's a stoner, but he becomes
Keith
like
Coogan.
A gourmet. Yeah,
it is Keith Coogan.
I just always remember that when they're skeet shooting the dishes when he's supposed to wash them. He's like, dishes are done, man. It was awesome.
Yes,
dishes. How did Mama let him go?
What was that?
How did Mama let him go?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, that's That's an unknown language to me there.
And these little children, they fast, boy.
Yeah, they sure are, Steven.
That's your baby?
God.
That is offensive, isn't it?
It is!
Wow.
It's just, you know, how dare you put that voice on? Like, am I an idiot? Can I only understand if you speak like that?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He just assumes that they can barely speak.
Yeah, because he's an idiot. All right, next DVD is G-Force, the gerbil movie.
Oh, you got me excited for a half a second until I... just like the brain is like...
The gerbil movie on DVD and Blu-ray.
Remember Battle of the Planets? That shit was G-Force, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
That was the real
one. You better dial 911.
So, yeah, it's gerbils.
I remember this thing being in 3D in the theaters, and it doesn't say anything about 3D on the DVD or Blu-ray, so...
It was one of those...
I guess maybe they...
slapped a 3D process on it before we went to the theaters.
Yeah.
But it's really nothing special.
That's what it looks like. Because normally, if it was a big deal, they would include the glasses like they did with Caroline.
I just heard this thing recently...
Or Coraline.
About this new 3D... like, the Blu-ray is about to pass the official spec for 3D. And they're being very strict of the quality it has to be, where it's the same kind of information in both for both eyes, apparently, left and right for your glasses. And from what I've heard about it, it's going to have to be good for, like, if you are going to put out a 3D Blu-ray, you have to follow their set of guidelines for it to be good, which is good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
They need to have
that's
that
why those groups are put together.
And you need to have that Panasonic monitor on that Avatar commercial.
Nice.
I keep seeing that. James Cameron uses Panasonic technology. And then they show the TVs or whatever. It's like, oh, I think I need to buy this now.
Yeah, I think I need a Panasonic immediately.
I think this commercial's working on me.
Okay.
All right, next DVD is The Goods. Live Hard, Sell Hard.
All right. That's the Jeremy Piven movie, right? Huh?
Yeah, that he promoted on Big Brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did. Wow.
The movie was awful.
Oh.
That's what I hear, but I'll rent it.
What happens in that movie?
Gang raped by a gaggle of silverback apes.
Oh, my God. I don't think I want to see that.
I'm not sure I want to see that.
That sounds kind of, you know...
Maybe the guy who raped the dog will want to be in
he
that
should, one. He really shouldn't say those sort of things about Ving Rhames. It's very racist.
Trust Magic Lloyd.
Awesome.
What?
What was that?
I don't trust Magic Lloyd.
Oh. Right. Lloyd's Magic? All right.
That's a rental. The Goods. I'll rent that.
Yeah, I want to see it just to see it. You know, it's...
The reason I want to see it is because the people on Big Brother, they really enjoyed it. You know, they do this.
Yeah, they thought it was amazing.
It was a really funny movie. I think I will see it. And then that quick edit. Yeah, I laughed in places.
I laughed in places.
I am going to destroy you.
Oh, sorry.
All right, next DVD is The Hangover on DVD and Blu-ray.
Now that I want to see.
Yeah, I watched it a couple weeks ago and enjoyed it.
Well, everything I've heard about is it brings the funny.
You know, there were moments where I laughed in places, but it's certainly not like, oh my God, oh, guffaw funny.
Does it bring the funny?
It's funny.
Really?
Awesome.
It really is.
Well, they're laughing at it, huh? So I'll check that out.
Yeah, and it's it looks like it's, you know, it's falling to that typical unrated thing that
nice.
Oh, they
what,
love to do.
What edition is it? Because you know how they like to give them the...
No, it just says unrated, The Hangover, not like...
Hangover,
not,
the non-aspirin
You would think
edition.
That they would come up with something about, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas
the
edition.
The 50 milligram
you know?
Edition, something like that. The hangover cure edition. I can't name those. I don't know.
What?
I got nothing.
Yeah, they actually have idiots that come up with that.
Yeah.
On their own. Next DVD is Inglourious Basterds Special Edition DVD and Blu-ray.
Hey, I love that film. That's the Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, you know what? I'll probably rent it just to see it again. But honestly, it didn't really work that well for me.
Very excited.
I respected it for what it was and what he did, and there are some really terrific performances, but I just kind of felt it was, like, way overindulgent.
It was, I think it was worth it for the big ending, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked what he did. I liked how he wrote it. I really loved that Christoph Waltz is Hans Landa. I thought that was just amazing what he did with that.
He's frightened.
But there were parts in characters that I was just really kind of like, why?
Scary. You know,
but it's a good film. It's a really well done film.
Definitely. I don't think I'll own it either, but I don't own a lot of Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's certainly not the type of movie you want to watch over and over again.
Yeah, but it's
because there's some really nasty, brutal shit that goes on.
But it's really so well made, and there's sequences that are so well put together by Quentin.
Yeah,
the way they're set up, because everything is set up, build,
yeah,
payoff kind of scenes that I think is really cool.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I mean,
there were one or two sequences that really I was just kind of like, it made my jaw drop, like, how well it was directed.
Yeah, he really had his shit together.
Yeah. Oh, someone's happy.
Someone's
all right.
Downright giddy. Hey, Steven, is that you?
You're a goody little two-shoe.
I am? Hmm.
All right, and but certainly not least, DVD and Blu-ray, Taking Woodstock by Ang Lee.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I know.
I can't believe you did a Peanuts movie, Steven. Can you?
I can't believe that that Woodstock survived.
Is this that one where they do the boat race and they have the...
He plays an awesome guitar.
That's a cool one. Remember those jerks have the motorboat or whatever and they're cheating?
That was the camping one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one. I probably watched that like a million times when I was a kid.
I love the one that they went to France and stayed
Charlie
with
Brown.
Like a pen pal.
Oh, totally. All of those are good. But I love that camping one because they're in the cabin and they're having a good time. Then the bear opens the door. Do you remember that? They're like, they open the door. There's a bear standing there or whatever. That shit was genius, man. And I'm glad Ang Lee finally decided to make a movie based on the Peanuts. I'm going to check this out.
You know, Woodstock was very underused.
I don't know, but
I know it was because
I think
he didn't
the hardest
talk,
time
but,
he had
you know.
Was translating Woodstock into a character that actually spoke English instead of...
Well, you know what? I really hope he didn't do with what he did to the Hulk, where he put too much plot into it.
Well, he does get a little bit into Woodstock's childhood, his abusive parents.
Oh, my God. See, no, Ang Lee, can't you fight that? Just, we want to see him hang out with Snoopy and Snoopy sit on his doghouse. We don't need to know why he's on the doghouse, do we? We don't need to know.
He just is.
He's a dog, you know?
It's like, how did he befriend Snoopy?
Have you even heard that? He goes into the history of the Red Baron in the movie? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's like the whole thing about Woodstock being a drug mule. It just wasn't...
Well,
wasn't
there's
acceptable.
A really sad sequence where Snoopy is bathing Woodstock, and he's not paying attention.
And then he has to shave him,
and Woodstock drowns. It's really sad. And then Schroeder is struck by lightning when he's standing on ice. It's really sad. I didn't even know you could die that way, Bill. Did you?
You know, I guess, you know, even in its ice form, water's still, you know, conductive.
Has a little piano sliding down the hill. It's really sad.
And then Snowjob shows up and yells to get off his ice.
Exactly. I thought it was also interesting the kind of nuance of bringing Snowjob from, you know, he's from a different franchise altogether.
And a different time.
Yeah, you're right. It's what
he
time
jumped
period?
30 years into the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time period are the Peanut Gang in?
The 60s.
Are they?
I just think that they're kind of timeless. Yeah.
Yeah, timeless. I don't know.
They're timeless. They live in a land before time.
Well, I mean, there's not really a time period on them.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know.
Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick.
Exactly. You should.
And
never...
then he proceeds to beat the shit out of Stroder with said stick.
Yeah, because they don't have clothes that denote them as 50s or 60s or...
Well, I'm just going by what it says at the end of the show.
Oh.
The teacher answered that question.
I got a rock.
Well, good deal, man. I'm going to definitely pick that up, Bill. I'm really excited about
it. Yeah. You know what kind of shocked me? I was listening to the radio this week, and they said that last Wednesday was the 44th anniversary of A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it came out in 1965. I've always had it. You know, I was talking to my dad, and he's like, yeah, you know, I remember when it first aired. I was just like, wow, you were alive then? It's amazing.
Some privilege.
Hey, it's quite a privilege to be able to watch that every year. Come on.
It never gets old for me. I love it.
I honestly think it's weird. Like, they will hold my daughter's interest. It's like, really? You know, isn't it a little faded for, you know, it is. Kids don't need the flashy stuff or CGI. They can be entertained by Charlie Brown, right?
What I miss is now, like, all the channels are trying to come up with their own new Christmas specials. Like, there was that Prep and Landing.
Right, on ABC.
And then there was the Madagascar Christmas and stuff like that.
Yeah, on CBS they had some thing about a little girl not believing
Phineas
Santa.
Phineas and Ferb Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was all about Charlie Brown and Garfield.
And of course, they always got to show the Rudolph Red Nose Reindeer.
Yeah, the Bank and Rass ones, Rudolph and. What was the one with the Island of Misfit Toys and Yukon Cornelius?
Right, that's Rudolph.
Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I still don't like Rudolph. The whole story about it just bothers me that they're total dicks.
I hated it.
They're dicks to Rudolph. They treat him like shit. But, oh, wait, we need you, Rudolph. We're going to be cool to you now. After, you know what he should say when they get back and they're like, hey, Rudolph, you're our buddy now. It's like, why don't you go F yourself? Huh?
Yeah.
You remember when you treated me different because I looked different?
Crash and burn, buddy.
Yeah, go to hell, man. I'll kill you.
Yeah, I always found Rudolph annoying, and quite frankly, Santa Claus is Coming to Town is creepy.
The animation is annoying as shit.
Yeah,
in that.
It's that, like, marionette shit, and it's just, I don't know. Plus the song, it's like, when I was a kid, I didn't mind the song. But now I think about the song, and it's just really, really creepy.
You
like,
could sing it in a different kind of voice. Santa Claus is coming to town. No!
He knows if you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. It's like, who the hell is this guy?
He knows when you've been bad or good.
Yikes.
Yikes!
Oh, shit.
I know. I feel the same way. Santa's coming after you. Oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's your
Somebody
baby.
Get Steven Seagal to talk street to him.
How did mama let him go?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everyone wonders how the mama let him go.
I guarantee this baby goes somewhere. Mama, huh?
And these little children, they're fast, boy.
Oh, that's so bad.
My dog could catch him, though. Maul your baby.
My dog would catch that baby and rip him shit.
But all I got to say is stop. And they'll stop, but maybe I don't want them to. Maybe I want them to.
I like seeing viscera of baby.
No way.
See if I can calm them down with my zen attitude.
With my songs from the Crystal Cave.
I'm going to play some blues for you. Oh, wait, it's turned into Elvis all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
No! All right.
He's not far from that area.
Those were DVDs of the week, by the way.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. It's awesome. All right, guys, let's wrap this shit up, shall we?
Come on. No.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
That fit really well. the saw and the African safari music, that was great.
Sometimes I just like experimenting, but
yeah, it really worked. Well, I thought there was honestly a saw player in Africa.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Sounds Hawaiian, doesn't it?
All right, everybody, that was episode 186 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Also, thank you for downloading the podcast, regular or enhanced. The enhanced version...
regular or enhanced.
The enhanced version has chapters and pictures, and for anybody who's not checked it out yet, who's curious, I've been going crazy putting pictures and crazy chapter breaks and stuff.
You gotta find a picture of Miss Richfield.
Oh, you know I will.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, there's one
the man?
Out there.
Get over here.
Oh, Steven, he's talking to you.
Are you the man? Get
no,
over here.
No, you're the man.
I'm not the man. You're the man because you got a penis. And you're acting like a lady, and that ain't right. You're not fooling me, man.
Oh, my.
I like playing the song because it vibrates my penis.
Oh, good Lord.
All right, Steven,
the creepiest point in that entire episode was when he finally pops out of that cake and he lifts his arms up and you can, like, see right down the shirt area and he's got the big floppy, saggy man arms and it's like, how old is this guy? And why is he still doing this? It's sad.
Yeah, it really is.
I have some very exciting news for you.
All right, go to nowhereinmulberry.com and you'll find a link to our forum and nimpodcast@gmail.com, which is our email. Also, you can find a link to Mulberry Old School, which I haven't checked out lately. Hopefully that's still up and downloadable. But Bill, you and I are going to work on something for a holiday pack, and we will announce that soon. You will find it in the forum or on Facebook or something like that. So keep an eye out. Maybe it'll happen a week because God knows we really need the donations this year for Christmas time, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Ah, my head!
Wow.
Ah, it's a thinny. Ah.
Yeah, that's so bad.
But, you know, I'm not even going to mention the book show, Bill. You and I... After the holiday season, we will get to it. It's just too much shit going on right now. Am I right?
Yeah, it really is. We would love to get it out as soon as possible and start up on the next books, but
because God knows I'm excited about them, and I've resisted the urge to start reading Under the Dome.
Yeah, I have it sitting right here next to me. This gigantic brick.
Because
of
I know
book.
It'll take me a while to read it when I should be reading other stuff. You know.
Well, you know what? I was looking at it, just kind of leafing through it. The print is large.
Oh yeah.
So I don't think it's like nearly as long as it seems going to be.
You know, like Wizard in Glass, I poured through that. You know, it's a big book, but
how
still,
many pages is the Under
interest.
The Dome?
It's over 1,000.
I think it's like 1,200 pages.
Yeah, that's like the expanded stand edition. Yeah.
It's exciting to have that much material to read, but. Yeah, I want to finish The Dark Tower, but we definitely are going to get back to it if people are waiting for us. You know, keep reading at your own pace, and the shows will be there for you to listen to eventually. Don't, you know, you don't have to wait on us, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Bill?
Yeah. Don't wait on us. We'll get it out. We're not gonna. You know, it's not like we're gonna promise it and then not deliver.
Yeah, we haven't lost interest. We just, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on, but they.
It's all the holiday season.
The books will come out. Trust me. Okay.
I'm not buying that crap anymore.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's your prerogative, dude, all right?
Someone's wised up.
Oh, my word!
Yeah, the language on him. Oh, my God.
I wonder if he, like, talks like that just around the house.
I don't know. He probably lives alone, so.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe he talks.
There's
he
no
probably
talks
to his cats like that.
Yeah, he's got a little dog.
Hello, kitties!
Miss Richfield is home.
Yeah, Miss Richfield, 1981.
Very excited.
I'm with my bunions.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo.
So, let's see. What is next Friday? Is that the 17th? That's the day Avatar comes out.
Yes, that's a big day.
I was even thinking about if we do something Avatar-ish, maybe that could
go. It's the 18th.
Avatar comes out on the 18th. Right.
Yeah, it's midnight premiere 17th. So.
So what I'm saying is, like, if we record something that has to do with Avatar, maybe that would be part of our holiday pack too. You know, like a special.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And you know, we were also talking about doing something that we never do, and I will definitely announce this if anyone's interested, of doing an all call-in show, where you could call into the show. And ask us anything you want to, insult us, hang up, we don't care. But we're going to do an all call-in show. And even if nobody calls in, we're still going to keep giving out the number and hope somebody eventually calls in, because it'll be part of the holiday package too. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, you'll pay for it no matter if it's boring or not.
It'll be exciting. I'm going to definitely have people ready to call. Steven, run in the other room, call. Be a character. Oh, Steven's got to go to the bathroom. Hello, you're on the air. Well, hello there. Something like
well,
that.
Wait a second. Whoa. Did Steven just turn into Uncle Tom?
Wait, that wasn't me.
Fast, boy.
Can you do your best Steven Seagal?
How did mama let him go?
How did mama let him go then?
That's uncanny.
Y'all are pinning us.
Oh, you're a pain in the ass, Steven. I guess. But, yeah, this has been a good show, I think.
If we can get the chef to call in. The French chef there.
Yes, Novelli.
Novelli.
Yeah, Chef Novelli. Hey, even that one guy Adam was talking about. I still can't remember that character's name.
Michael something.
See, that's the problem.
Mike Spangler?
Yeah, Mike Spangler. Yeah, we want Mike Spangler to call in on the call-in show, Adam. All right, so... Yeah, get a hold of that guy for us.
Yeah, he's the cat's meow.
But, you know, the cat's pajamas. But you know what? We know him so well, we're not going to call him Mike Spangler. He's just Spangler. Yeah. I can remember the Spangler. Spangs to his close friends. I would love for Rick to call in, guys. He could call in on Skype. It wouldn't cost him anything, right?
Yeah.
That sure. Shit would be awesome. Just hang out with Rick for a while.
We need to have a drink session with Rick online.
A drink session.
A drink session.
Steven, we're supposed to help him, not
yeah,
we are helping
it.
Him.
We technically should not encourage the drinking.
Right. We're going to help you, Rick. Oh, a Rick intervention on the show. Yeah! That would be awesome, right?
Dude, maybe you should take a nap.
Oh, sorry. Well, maybe not. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time we do a show. Woohoo!
All right, and listen, I've got to run now. I wish I could stay and talk. Goodbye. So long. Bye. 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 Nice to see you. Hello. Oh, love your hair. All right. So long, everyone. Goodbye.
Now this is podcasting.
Yoo-hoo!
Oh my word!
Come to mama.
No way.